Today's message is called How to Put God First Place in Your Life. Now, last week I was talking about priorities and prioritizing our life, and one of the things that we learned last week was what Jesus had said. He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to you." So if we want all the things, which are all the things is the clothes and the food and the happiness and the peacefulness and romance and, you know, all of these wonderful things that we want in our life, he says to prioritize, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to it. So we determined last week that the priority is to put God first place in our lives. And a lot of you said, "Yeah, woohoo, I want to do that. Yo, wait, man, let's do it." And then you were like, "But wait a minute, how do I put God first place in everything that I do? How can it be possible to put God first place in all the practical things that we have to do every day? Like pay the bills, like working a job, like cooking dinner, eating, raising the kids. What does this have to do with God? Come on." But this is the whole thing, is it has everything to do with God. It has everything to do with God. And when we understand how to put God first in paying the bills, how to put God first in cooking the dinner, how to put God first in raising the kids, suddenly everything starts to happen in a beautiful, loving, amazing way. Suddenly the blessing of God can start to actually work in your life. You can have the peace and the love that you want. You can be excited every day when you get up, when you know how to put God first place. So get out your pens and paper, because I want you to make a list of all the different ways that you can put God first place in your life. And this is just a few of them, because there's a lot of other ways you can put God first place in your life, but I'm touching on some of the main ones. Number one, invite Jesus into your heart. Invite Jesus into your heart. When we invite Jesus into our heart, we now enter into reconciliation. We now get to be, again, back, put back together with God. We were separated from God, but we invite Jesus into our heart. We are now brought back together with him. Reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation is what Paul called it, Paul the Apostle. And how that happens is that when we receive Jesus, he wipes away the iniquities and the sins and the mistakes and the shortcomings and the false beliefs, and he brings in righteousness. Now remember what he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The minute we receive Jesus, all the old stuff is taken away and righteousness is brought in. Righteousness means right standing with God. That means in God's eyes, he now no longer sees the mistakes and shortcomings. He sees us the same way he saw Jesus, as perfect. And he is well pleased with you. He sees you as righteous. And you are now in right standing with God. Hey, what a great way to begin and put God first place in our life, to actually have God in our life. Number one, when we invite Jesus into our heart, we now have God in our life. Before that, we were separate from him. We were different creatures. We were physical. We were natural. We were carnal, however you want to say it. But when we invite Jesus into our heart, now he opens our eyes to become spiritual. He now opens the door to step into the kingdom of God and receive the blessings and the promises of God that he has said and laid up and already fulfilled. They're now flowing into our life. We're a new creature now. And that's number one, to have that. Now, number two. Number two is take a look at what would Jesus do in your life if he was doing some of the activities that you do. Because Jesus is our example. When he walked on the earth, he gave us examples of how to put God first place in all things. As Jesus was walking, he was putting God first place. As he was resting, remember one day he was resting by a well, taking a break. The disciples had gone off to eat something. He was resting, but he was still putting God first place. A woman came to the well, and he began to speak to her. Now, it wasn't the tradition or the custom for him to speak to somebody who wasn't Jewish. But why did he speak to her? Because that was the guidance that he received from God. He was now working the works of the kingdom. Even while resting, he got the guidance to do something for God. And it changed not only that lady's life, it changed an entire village. Because she went back and brought out the entire village, and they all became righteous in the eyes of God because they received Jesus as well. Amen?
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
So while Jesus was walking, while he was eating, remember that time where him and 5,000 or so people were eating? He was also putting God first place, because when he had the fishes and the loaves, what did he do? He looked up to heaven. He's looking up to heaven to see what should he do. He's putting God first place. He didn't look to the food first. He looked up to God. So he put God first place even while eating, and what happened? The 5,000 were fed. As a result of that. See, supernatural increase comes when we put God first place in our lives. We talked about this last week. And Jesus shows us, if you look through there, you can see all kinds of places, things that he did that put God first place. And now you can start asking yourself, what would Jesus do while paying my bills? Boy, I'd love to have Jesus pay my bills. But that's the whole thing. If you put God first place, now he is paying your bills. You see? But you've got to start to see how to do it. Now, here's one of the things that Jesus did. Here's one of the things he said. This is in John chapter 5, 19. This is a key. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus is teaching us, how did he put God first place when he was walking on the earth? He did not do anything. He did not say anything until he heard God lead him into that. When he got the guidance from God to do or to say, then he did and he said exactly what God told him to do. By doing that in every situation, Jesus was putting God first place. He did not just let his mouth flap at the gums because he thought he wanted to have somebody hear him say something. You have some people like that around you. They just talk because they love the sound of their voice. That wasn't Jesus. Jesus was only speaking, listen to this, he was only speaking what he heard God say. If God wasn't telling him something, he wasn't saying anything.
Amen?
Amen? If God wasn't saying to do something, he wasn't running around trying to make something happen. He was listening for what God was saying, what God was telling him to do, and then he was doing it. And by doing that, he was putting God first place in his life. So number three, if we do everything with God, then God is first place in our life. And we can do it the same way that Jesus did. That means I'm only going to do what God tells me to do. I'm only going to say what God tells me to say. And what that means is that in everything that I do, I should be consulting God first to find out how to do it and what to say while doing it. I should seek him first. Now, what often people do is first, they go and start running around and doing whatever they think is right, or they start doing what's routine, what they're used to doing. So they'll do just what's normal that they've always done. Or they will do what they think is right. And then what happens? They get into trouble. And then when they're in trouble, they start saying, "Oh God, help me. I'm in trouble. Can you get me out of this situation?" They haven't sought God first. They sought him last after they got into trouble. If we seek God first, then we don't get into trouble in the first place. Because he'll tell us exactly how to do it, to get the blessing out of it, to get the peace out of it, to get the love out of it, to have the best life, an abundant life, a life more abundant than ever, a great life, by putting him first. So in everything that we do, let's seek God first and ask him how to do it. Now this means we have to break out of routines and things that we just think that we should do. And there's a lot of stuff that you're doing every day that maybe you don't even think about why you're doing it or how you're doing it. So stuff like paying the bills and cleaning the house and folding the laundry and raising the kids, maybe it's become a routine. Here's a good story about that. There was a man and he was having dinner and he noticed it. His wife, she made the best roasts in town. She made these incredible roasts. But he noticed something kind of peculiar. She would always cut both ends off of the roast. And so he was asking her one day, "Honey, you make the best roast. These are incredible roasts. But why do you cut the ends off of the roast before you cook it?" And she said, I don't know. My mother made the best roast that I've ever known, and she always cut the ends off of it. So that's what I did. And so she went to the mother to find out, and she said, Mom, you know, you make incredible roast, but why do you cut the ends off of it before you cook it? And the mother said, well, I don't know, because your grandmother, she made the best roast that I ever had, and she always cut the ends off of it, and so that's what I did. So I just cut the ends off of it. So the girl goes to the grandmother and says, Grandma, you know, I know you cook a great roast, and we're just wondering, why do you cut the ends off the roast? And the grandmother says, well, when you and your grandfather were first married, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, and the roast pan was really small, and I had to cut the ends off of the roast to get it to fit into the pan. And so after that, I just kept doing it because it seemed like it created a good roast. So there you have it. So here's a case of people following just a routine. They don't know why they're doing it. The grandmother in the beginning found a very innovative way to make a small pan work for her. But now they've got to find another way, because if you continue to follow the routine, if you continue to follow the traditions, you won't know why you're doing it. And you're not putting God first place, you put the routine first place. You don't know why you're doing it, and it's not benefiting your life. Just think, that husband who loved the roast so much could have had a bigger roast if they hadn't cut the ends off of it. Right? So we want to be asking God, in all things that we do, how do we do this? Everything. Cleaning the house. My mother loves to use Windex when she was cleaning the house. Always Windex, 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 Windex. Well, I've spoken to God about it, and he says, Ted, use vinegar. Now, that's what he's told me. So I use vinegar. Now, why don't I do it just the way my mother did it? Why don't I just follow the routine or the tradition that of using Windex? Because God, I put God first place, and if God tells me to use vinegar, darn it, I'm going to use vinegar. I'll tell you, in the last few weeks, I've cleaned the shower a few times, or maybe months, I guess it is. I've cleaned the shower a few times, and every time I've done it, I've used something different. Why? Because God told me to. One time I used Comet. One time I used vinegar. Another time I used this countertop cleaner. Why? Because God said, I'm putting God first place. I'm not going through a routine and doing the same thing the same way every single time, even though I'm just cleaning the house. We can make it about putting God into our routine or into our life, or we can put God outside of it and just follow the routine. Which way do you want to do it? How do we put God first place? Consult him in all things. You know, sometimes there's been different ways that I've cleaned the house. I remember when I was a bachelor, I'd let it build up until there was a lot of cleaning done, and then I would take a whole day and I'd clean the whole thing from top to bottom. It took a long time, but that's what I would do. Then there's a time where God began to speak to me about something different. He said to clean this room. Just clean the bathroom this week. Clean the bedroom next week. Next week, clean the kitchen. The week after that, you go back and clean the bathroom again. And so he had me on a one-room cleaning schedule. I wasn't doing it always the same way. Now he's got me doing something completely different again. He tells me, sweep the floors and dust the furniture this week. Next week, clean the countertops in the bathroom. Next week, clean the showers. So he's got me on a rotating schedule. You know what's interesting? It makes it easier for me, it takes up less time, and it makes it funner. So I'm doing something a little different, but I'm always consulting him, how should I do it? If I let myself just fall into, well, I'm just going to do this the way that Mom did it, I'm just going to get out the Windex, then suddenly I don't feel so well because I have an allergic reaction to Windex. But see, I don't do that. I'm listening to see what is God telling me. That is same with cooking your food, eating your food. You know, it's the same with raising your kids. Don't just raise your kids the way you were raised. Begin to ask God, consult him in all things. This is a major step. If you can consult God in everything you're doing, in your work, you go to work, ask God how you should do this. Because it's easy to fall into, well, I was taught in school that this is the way my job's supposed to be done. Or the guy that trained me said, this is the way that I'm supposed to do it. Consult God and find out. Is this the right way to do it? Is this the way I should continue doing it? Or is there something you want me to tweak a little bit? Is there something you want me to use in a slightly different way? Because you can do it. You can make those tweaks and changes. And now you're bringing God into it. And as I said, when God is in it first, because you consulted him before you did anything, now you say what he does, and you do what he says, and now everything works out, and you're blessed. And you don't have to be coming to him last, like an emergency, to bail me out. Bail me out, God, because I'm in trouble here. No, we consult him first. So this is something that we can apply in our lives. Now, number four, praise God. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. Now, there's a lot of people, they will be saying praise God with their lips, but I'm talking about actually praising God, getting the spirit of praise in your heart. So what this means is, while you're working and doing all the things that you have to do in your life, whether it's paying the bills, or it's cleaning the house, or it's working, or it's talking to people, get a spirit of praise going on the inside. A spirit of praise. Now, we come here on Sunday mornings and we start to praise. Why? We're getting a spirit of praise going. Amen?
Amen.
We're getting a spirit of praise going because now the Spirit of God is working. And anytime, if you can go through your entire day from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep and you're praising God, what are you doing? You are lifting God up. You are putting God first place in your life. Now God isn't an afterthought. God is the thought. He's the first thought when something happens. When you sit down to eat your meals, bless your food. Thank you, God. Oh, man, this is an amazing meal. I just am so grateful for you, God, that you're giving me this meal. And I receive it, and I'm happy with it. And thank you, Lord. And you can be grateful when you're working as well. Thank you, God, for this job that you've given me. Man, it's an amazing job. Let the Spirit, and not just in word, don't just say, oh, praise God. Because people are like a parrot sometimes. Praise God. You know, but the next minute, they're grumbling about something that's not working in their life. Now, I'm talking about a spirit of praise. A spirit of praise that carries you through the day. Because now you're putting God first place in everything. Praise him for your car. Praise him for your family. Praise him for your health. Praise him for your food. Praise him for your job. Praise him when you're walking, for the trees and the birds. Praise him when you're going down the street. Praise him when you're in the stores. From the time you get up to the time you go to sleep, if you can be praising God, God is first place in your life.
Amen.
If you're grumbling or you're complaining or you're whining, then God is not with you. You're not putting God first place now. You're putting something else first place. But when you can get into the spirit of praise and really feel it moving you, now God is number one in your life. How do we put God first place in our life? Praise him.
Amen.
Praise him. Number five. Oh, let me read this verse here from 4 for praise God. This is what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. Praise God. This is what Paul is saying. So this is the same. He has given us the same advice that I'm just telling you right now. You want to put God first place? Praise him. Praise him. That's a great way to do it. And you can do that all day long, no matter what you're doing. No matter what the situation is. And now God is first in your life. So the next one, as I said, was do everything in love. Do everything in love. Whatever you're doing, if you're loving it, if you're working, start to feel the love for your job. You know, you should have that spirit of love flowing within you. Remember, God is love. God is love. So if there is, you're kind of grumbling about what you're doing, or you're feeling like it's a chore, it's a burden, now you need to start taking a look at that and consulting God. Why is the spirit of love in there? Maybe God's going to tell you, you don't need to be doing that. Maybe there's something else to do, or maybe there's a different way to do it. Why is there not a spirit of love in that? Now, I'll tell you, I don't love doing the dishes, but I have consulted God and asked him, how should I do the dishes? Because I had one way of doing it. The way I would do it is I'd let the dishes all pile up. And then I would have that stinky sink water, you know, gross and gooey, and I'd have to reach in there. And I mean, that was the last thing that I wanted to do. And so I was saying, God, what should I do here? Because I just don't like this at all. And I know I should be doing this in a spirit of love. And God said, hey, Ted, here's what you should do. When you're done your plate, rinse it off, put it in the dishwasher right away. And so we started doing that. It was really incredible because my sink always stayed empty. My kitchen always stayed clean. And there was no dirty, sinky water. that was stinking up the place. And whenever I did that, when the dishwasher was full, we turned it on, and the dishes were clean. Voila! And you know what? I love it. I love that it doesn't take any time at all. That I can just take the dishes right there, rinse them off, put them in the dishwasher. It's like easy breezy. I love it. See, the whole problem was the way that I was doing it. And now God showed me a different way. And now as a result of that, I'm following this activity in love. So you should be whistling while you work. I think if Jesus was doing something, I think he'd be whistling while he was working. Or he'd be humming, you know. Maybe he's not whistling, he's humming. But I think he's doing it with a spirit of love in his heart. If he's our example, I think everything he did, there was a joyousness in there. Remember, Jesus is fulfilling the whole scripture of God. He knows his purpose. And to fulfill that scripture, he had to be letting God be a part of it. How do you make God a part of your life? Do everything in love. Do everything in love. And here's what Paul says about that. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. He says, "Watch, stand fast in faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." Amen?
Amen.
So if we want to have God a part of our life and put him first place in our life, do everything in love. If there's something that you're doing that's not in love, now you've got to get yourself stirred up. Get the spirit stirred up. You know, start to look at it. Why am I not feeling this? Why am I not feeling the love for this activity that I'm doing? And it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter whether I'm paying the bills or I'm cleaning the house or I'm working my work that God has given me. You're driving in the car. It doesn't matter. You should be in that state of love. And if you're not, you need to start consulting God, finding out. Because if you're in love, that state of divine love all the time, then God is first place in your life because God is love.
Amen.
Amen. And let's go down to number 6. Now, as you clean and you drive to work and you fold your laundry and you do all those different things that you do in your life that seem rather routine and seem to have nothing to do with God, something interesting is quite often your brain doesn't have to do a lot when you're folding the laundry, right? Quite often, there's a lot of things like when you're driving to work, for example, you may not be thinking about anything. But what a lot of people do when they're driving to work is they begin to worry. They start to focus what they're going to have to do when they get to work. How am I going to solve that problem? You know, they let their mind begin to run wild with them. You know, number 6 is meditate on the Word of God. Well, you have those times where you're driving in the car. Let the Word of God be upon your mind. Begin to ponder it. Let it roll around in your heart. And let the blessings of God begin to be revealed in those verses. You know, a couple of weeks ago, there were 2 verses from the Bible that were I was pondering and meditating on every day from the time I woke up. And I mean literally, from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed. And one was, seek first the kingdom of God. And the second was, the kingdom of God is within. And as you ponder those two, there's something very profound that God begins to reveal and open in your mind. And so I was meditating on this as I was cleaning the house. I was meditating on this as I was driving to work. I was meditating on this and talking to God about it as I was working. And I was thinking about it when I woke up, just, you know, and just before I went to bed, I was meditating on it as I drifted to sleep. I was meditating on, seek first the kingdom of God. And I was meditating on, the kingdom of God is within. And those 2 verses were just kind of rolling around in there. And good things were happening. As I was meditating on that, I was getting revelations from God about his kingdom. I was beginning to understand his promises for my life. I was beginning to see the power of God and how it works in my life. So I wasn't just driving to work. I was putting God first place in my life. Because when you meditate on his word and his promises, now you're focused on God. And there are many things that we do that we have to do, but we can put God first place in them by meditating on his word. You know, as you drive to work, as you fold the laundry, as you clean the dishes, you know, you can have him forefront of your mind. Here's what it says. Here's what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is what Joshua is saying. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua is saying, keep the word of God right there in front of you, day and night. Now, day and night, so when don't we keep the word of God in front of us? We always keep the word of God in front of us, day and night, always. You know, say, so when we have that word in front of us, look what he says, and then you will have good success. See, he's saying the same thing Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. If all these things, meaning clothes and food and success and happiness and peace and all of that is added to you, that adds up to success. See? Then you'll have good success. So when we ponder and meditate on the word of God, he is opening to us and revealing to us his way. He is opening to us his love. He is opening to us praise. And as we start to move in that every single day, in every single activity, in every single way, guess what? You put God first place in your life. And when you have God first place in your life, now you can begin to receive the blessings. Now you can begin to receive the healing. Now you can walk in an anointing every single day. It doesn't matter what the activity is. That's how you put God first place in all things. This is very easy. And number 7. Tithing. You know, the whole concept of tithing is putting God first place. He says to take that first 10% of your increase, of your livelihood that comes in, that first 10%, and give it to God. Why? Because it shows that we're putting God first place. God, I want to give this to you. Some people, what they do is they pay all the other bills first, they take care of all the other expenses, and if there's something left over, they give it to God. Well, where are you putting God then? Are you putting God first place if you're just giving him whatever's left over? No, you're putting him last place. That's the same as crying out after you get into trouble, God help me, I'm in trouble. That's the same thing when you just kind of give whatever's left over. I got a couple bucks. Okay, there you go, God. Congratulations. No? See, in tithing, this is another way for us to put God first place. Remember, Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son, to give an offering of his son. Now, Isaac, the son of promise, Abraham had waited him for so long. Man, he was like 100 when he came. He was waiting so long, expecting. And here comes this boy. They finally have him and Sarah have this incredible kid. And he's like, this is the kid of promise. Man, I've waited so long. This is amazing. And then God asked him, he said, give him as an offering to me. And of course, Abraham, this was a chance for God to see what would Abraham do. Would he put God first place or would he put his son first place? Which is it? And Abraham, of course, took Isaac and said, okay, God, I put you first place. And when God saw that, he said, as Abraham was over the table with the knife raised, God said, no, don't hurt the boy. And he had provided an offering for him, so he didn't have to do that. And that's the same thing. See, here, and what God said to Abraham is, he said, now I know I can. You put me first place in all things. That means I can open incredible doors for you and do amazing blessings for you, and you can receive incredible gifts. You know, one of the amazing things is, see, right there, Abraham was being tested by God. But, you know, we're not tested anymore because we've received Jesus. We've already passed the test once we received Jesus. All of the tests have already been passed. It's kind of like when we received Jesus, like a cheat sheet. You know, you ever have a cheat sheet in school? I don't know if you ever did that, but some people I know in here did. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. But, you know, when you get Jesus, it's a cheat sheet, so there is no more testing. You already know I am righteous with God, and God knows now that you have him first place. But see, in that tithing here, Abraham was showing that I put you first place, God. And in our tithing to God, too, when we put our 10% first to God and say, oh, man, this is for God, you know, and we get excited about it, now we have God first place in our lives. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So here, let's go over this again just quickly. Here's 7 points for you to put God first place in your life. And you can use one of these, or you can use all of these. You can use a handful of them. You know, you can juggle it up. But whatever you're doing, when you're doing one of these things, you're putting God first place in your life. And when you put God first place in your life, he puts you first place in your life. Because God has an incredible plan for you. Amen?
Amen.
He has a dream for your life that's so amazing and so incredible. He has a plan that to lift you up higher than you ever thought you could go, to make you greater than you ever thought you were, to make you smarter, to make you wiser, to make you better looking. He's got a plan for you.
Amen.
In your life. And when we put God first place in our life, He puts us first place, just like He did with Abraham. Say amen to that. And when we put God first place, then we're first place. And that means now we walk in the blessings of God. We walk in the promises of God. We receive the goodness of God as He promised upon us. And that's all we have to do. So here are the seven things that we can do. And I think there's more than this, but here are the seven that we can start off with to put God first place in our life so that we can be first place in God's heart. Amen.
Amen.
Number one, invite Jesus into your heart. Number two, use Jesus as an example in all things. So think about what you're doing in your life and what would Jesus do in that situation, because He always put God first place. Number three, only do what you hear God say. Only say what God says. Consult God first before you go and do anything, even if it seems routine or easy or something you've done since you were born, brushing your teeth, combing your hair. Ask God, how should I do this? Maybe He wants to give you a new hairstyle. It'll make you look younger, make you look better. We don't know.
Amen.
Amen? We don't know. Number four, praise God.
Amen.
We can praise God from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. And if we're praising God, we're lifting Him up. We're putting Him first in our life in all ways. Praise God in all things.
Amen.
Number five, do everything in love. If we're doing it in love, God is love. That means we're putting God first place in all things in our life. Do everything in love. And if you're not doing it in love, find out why not. Make the changes necessary. Get yourself stirred up. Get the Spirit of God working so that there can be love in that life. It doesn't have to be a boring drudgery in your life. It doesn't have to be mediocre. God wants you to have a life more abundant, an amazing life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Number six, meditate on the Word of God and God's promises. Have it before you. Day and night, Joshua says, put those words before you. Let them roll around in your heart. Contemplate them. Ask God about them. As you do that, you're putting God, you put His Word first place like that. You're putting Him first place in your life, and good things are going to happen. And number seven is tithing. Whenever we're tithing, we're giving the first of the 10%. We're giving the best that God has given us, not the leftovers. And we're putting God first place in that. So if you want to put God first place in your life, you can do a few of these things. You can do one of these things. You can do all of these things. But God will be first place right there in your life. And as you put Him first, He puts you first. And now you're blessed. And you're going to have a great life, an amazing life, a life of promise in all ways. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Woo.